And now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. SoCal Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter and musician Sarah Watkins has been busy as of late with Sarah Giroux and Eve O'Donovan in their band I'm With Her, but not so busy that she can't pop on by to share a couple of tunes that will surely warm your heart. Also from the Golden State, Tejano folk and punk stars, the Mexican Standoff. On Dakota Diners, I'm going to take you to Ellie's Ivy in Grand Forks, North Dakota, for a little visit with owner Scott Franz. And North Dakotan Richard Lofgren is going to play a Christmas tune that he composed called Christmas Eve at Memory Care. I'm Tom Russo. It's good to have you with us today. We begin with musician Corby Lanker, who's Washington-born, but now living in Nashville, Tennessee. I mean, what a place for the arts. And this guy's always got something going on. If he's not podcasting, he's songwriting. If he's not acting, well, he's a foodie on the side. And you're going to hear about three of his favorite Music City spots to eat. In addition, he recorded these unbelievably catchy, well-crafted tunes, Christmas Rain and Yakima. It's Corby Lanker.
Christmas rain, coming down hard on my windowpane. I got just one present under my tree. Somebody went and bought it for me. Don't know who, but I got a good guess. I think it might be the girl who used to love me best. Some folks say I got a way of turning pretty diamonds into coal. Oh, I got this wrapped up box of black rocks. Got this head shock full of sad thoughts. Oh, thinking about you, looking out at that Christmas rain. Christmas rain, coming down hard on my windowpane. Yeah. Nothing will make you feel more down than when all your friends go out of town. Everybody with the family. Oh, everybody but me. I went outside, put up the lights. I thought that might make it just a little more merry. But all I'm thinking about is how we used to sing our favorite Christmas carols in harmony. Remember that, baby? Christmas rain, fa-la-la-la-la, it's been raining all day. When I was a kid, well, it used to snow. And now I'm older and it doesn't no more. A cold rain falling, but it won't turn white. And I'm missing your Christmas kiss tonight. Some folks say I got away, turning pretty diamonds into coal. Oh, I don't know why this is. Why? Won't you come and tell me what to do instead? What to do instead? Christmas rain, Christmas rain, Christmas rain, Christmas rain, Christmas rain, Christmas rain. Ain't no doubt it's coming down. Thought it'd be different this year, but it's coming down again.
Well, Corby here from East Nashville, and I thought I would give you a favorite place. But rather than just one, I'm going to solve a problem for myself, which is that folks who know that I live here, and sometimes they're childhood friends, sometimes they're people that saw me 10 years ago, and we had a conversation, and they added me on Facebook. these folks, I love you all, will reach out when they find out they're going to be coming to Nashville soon, and they'll send me a message asking for recommendations. So I'm going to give three recommendations, one for each meal, so that y'all can leave me alone. Okay. Breakfast first, most important meal of the day. There is a food truck literally around the corner from my house that I walked past so many times because it always had a line out front, and not a fan of lines. One day I was with my wife and baby daughter. We were having a Saturday morning stroll. This is the time to do it. Obviously there's something going on here at this food truck. It's at right at Five Points in East Nashville, and it's called Egg Drip. And it's sort of an Asian fusion twist on an egg breakfast sandwich. Amazing. I've only gotten it one time, and I'm thinking about it right now. If you can see my expression, it's like, I feel plum sauce is going on here. Okay. Second meal of the day, lunch, is the only choice for, as far as I'm concerned. It's in East Nashville. It's on Gallatin Avenue. You will drive right past it. It's on the main track, and it's called Hearts. And it's kind of, it's an Australian restaurant. If you didn't know that the Australians have their own fare, well, now you do. Largely American in its sensibilities. They have a great cheeseburger there, but I recommend the chicken katsu roll. There's also a very tiny bar that is a full bar. And so you can kind of have like a little cocktail for lunch if you want. And because it's so well lit and there's plants everywhere, you can still feel like a good person afterwards. And finally, for dinner is, I have to go with the mainstay, which is Dino's Fine Food, right almost across the street from Hearts. Dino's is like a legendary place. Now I have a Dino's story for you. I've been here for 20 years and we used to go there before it was purchased by some kind of, I don't want hipsters thrown around too much, but some folks that cleaned up the grease off the kitchen floor and made it a little bit nicer. Prior to that, it was a real working class smoker's bar. And I went in there one evening, early evening, with a lady friend of mine. And we were sitting at the bar. There's probably like 8 seats there. And all of a sudden she screeched and leapt up from her chair. And I looked down to see just in time a baby possum crawling all over everyone's feet right along the bar there. Suffice to say, very unlikely that you'll have a possum encounter, but you'll meet some interesting people there. It also serves the best hamburgers. Get them with fries, and then the wonderful juices of the burger drip into the basket of the twice-baked French fries, and this feeling is sensational. Also, it's the setting for one of the scenes in my TV pilot, Morse Code, which is about an East Nashville folk musician trying to make good in music without alienating everyone around him. You thought you could get away without a commercial there. Morse Code is the name of that show, and it's on YouTube now. Bon appetit.
Was a big wave surfer in Malibu, cleaned the elephant cage at the Denver Zoo. I spent a long summer with a lumberjack crew just to see what I could saw. Then I did not know where to go, so I drank with the winos on the Cannery Row. I got so high that it laid me low, and I'm going back to Yakima. Oh, Yakima, the only place where I belong. Somewhere in between the dream and the wandering. Oh, Yakima, who knows how it's really gone? You might be right, you might be wrong, or you might be in Yakima. I fell in with the K&A that taught me how to rob a train. I took my licks and I found a taste for running from the law. They caught me outside Albany. Threw me in that old Sing Sing. I got out for not being mean, and I'm going back to Yakima. Oh, Yakima, the only place where I belong. Somewhere in between the dream and the wandering. Oh, Yakima, who knows how it's really gone. You might be right, you might be wrong, or you might be in Yakima. I was an oyster farmer. I was a false alarmer. I was a radio DJ, rodeo clown, busking on the London Underground. Woke up on an island in the Puget Sound, a singing for my suburban. I was a High Plains drifter, I was a Wall Street grifter. I was a two-term president on the dole, hot shot jumper from Idaho, blood diamond miner from the heart of the Congo. Sometimes I don't even know my name, 'cause I wondered and I wondered and I yondered and I blundered and I finally found what I was looking for, 'cause I was always hearing, oh yeah, come on, the only place where I belong, somewhere in between the dream and the wandering. Oh yeah, come on, who knows how it's really gone. You might be right, you might be wrong, you might be in Yakima. You might be right, you might be wrong, or you might be in Yakima.
The Great American Folk Show. And right now, we're going to continue with great voices to bring you music sent in all the way from Sweden. Sofia Talvik is a performer who we featured on the show before earlier this year. It's a pleasure to welcome her back.
Santa, I don't know what to do. The world is ending, so I thought I'd write to you. In November, the snowflakes turn to coal. Can't blame the Grinch for the presents that he stole. Santa, you should stay at home this year. No one's been good, we're all living in fear. Tied to a fence post or a knee upon my neck. Nowhere to go, no justice at my back. Santa, I know that you ain't real, but what is this days? That's just how I feel. I must be crazy, I must have lost my mind. How can we push the button to rewind? Santa, I never thought I'd say this to you. Don't bring me gifts, just let the poor guys go. Stuck in the cage in an alligator marsh. Jesus and Mary, this Christmas will be harsh. Santa, I know that you ain't real, but what is this days? That's just how I feel. I must be crazy, I must have lost my mind. How can we push the button to rewind? Santa, if I could ask just one thing, let peace be the song that we all sing. Let truth be the present that you bring. Let justice spread a mighty, mighty wing. Santa, you ain't real, but what is this days? That's just how I feel. I must be crazy, I must have lost my mind. How can we push the button to rewind? Santa, I know that you ain't real, but so is nothing in this freak show Ferris wheel. I must be crazy, I must have lost my mind. How can we push the button to rewind? How can we push the button to rewind?
Lately, I've been listening to a band out of Los Angeles, California, called The Mexican Standoff. It's fronted by an all-female cast of musicians and songwriters who describe their thing as Mexamericana with a punk twist. Fernandez, Sansi, and Ella Hate. In a moment, Fernandez from the band will join us for a live session. Their new EP was recorded with legendary San Antonio musician Flaco Jimenez, who, rest in peace, passed away earlier this year in the summertime. And it features a tune composed by his brother, Santiago Jimenez. And I mean, wow, Flaco and Santiago are kings. Personally, I've loved their music for many years. In the case of Flaco, both his solo albums and the stuff that he did with bluegrass player Peter Rowan, it's just fabulous stuff. So let's check out a bit of that new EP by the Mexican standoff. It's called Hola Tejas, and the song is called El Pantalón Blue Jean. It features Flaco Jimenez, and of course the tune was written by his brother Santiago. Here we go with a Mexican standoff.
Hello to all the listeners of the Great American Folk Show. This is Fernandez from the Mexican Standoff. The Mexican Standoff is a band that started in 2017 in Los Angeles, California. We were a group of friends. Some were Mexicans, some Americans, and we had a blast playing together. That's really the essence of this project. Mexicans and Americans coming together, making music, and having a good time. During COVID, I broke up with my partner who was part of the band, and from then on, it became an all-female group, and it stayed that way ever since. From the beginning, we played songs that Flaco Jimenez made famous during his time, and it was always my dream to record with him. This year, we released an album called Hola Tejas, featuring Flaco Jimenez and Los Tex-Maniacs, and we couldn't be more proud. It was an honor to work with him, with Max from Los Tex-Maniacs, and with Joe Treviño from Blue Cat Studios. Bringing together so much talent from different generations in one room to make these new versions of Mexican and Texan songs was very, very special. I decided to move back to Mexico City a couple of years ago. I was born here, but I spent 20 years in the U.S., and I felt the need to reconnect with my community. And I also needed a break from the tension in the US. But once I moved back, I realized there's a lot happening here too, just in different ways. We live in a tough world, and that's exactly why I carry on with the Mexican standoff. The fun we have multiplies when we share it with an audience, and the feeling of all of us coming together to have fun is priceless. This year, we played all over the US, and it was really special to see people from all walks of life enjoy what we now call Mexamericana and our cumbias. We're working on new music these days and can't wait to share it in 2026 with all of you. One-way ticket to TJ.
Este sueño americano no es como lo pintan. Este sueño americano es una pesadilla. Mucho trabajo, poco jangueo, el dinero que me queda solo me alcanza para McDonald's y a veces pa' las chelas. Ya estoy hasta la madre de tantos biles, tanta renta que pagar. Mejor me regreso pa' mi tierra, México lindo, mi tierra natal. One way ticket to TJ. One way ticket to TJ. La 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 el fin de semana. De costurera, de cocinera, le jalo donde pueda. Allá en mi pueblo no necesitan matarse en el trabajo. Viven tranquilos, viven la vida y todos en familia. Ya estoy hasta la madre de tantos biles, tanta renta que pagar. Mejor me regreso pa' mi tierra, México lindo, mi tierra natal. One-way ticket to, one-way ticket to, one-way ticket to TJ. One-way ticket to, one-way ticket to, one-way ticket to TJ. And this is la cumbia del perreo. Viernes por la noche me cansé. Don't wanna deal with another way. Ya sé lo que me voy a poner. Me he visto for revenge. I don't wanna swipe no more. Nadie me hace perder el control. Tonight I'm gonna go on my own. Yo misma me mimo. My hair and my nails, y me doy mi manita de gato. Sombrero, mi bota, my lipstick, mis lentes, nos vamos. My hair and my nails, y me doy mi manita de gato. Sombrero, mi bota, my lipstick, mis lentes, nos vamos. Cumbia del perreo, cumbia del perreo. Cumbia del perreo, cumbia del perreo. Uf, 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 uf. Cumbia del perreo, cumbia del perreo. Cumbia del perreo. Me dio como perra perdida, pero lo que no sabía, estoy más rica solita. Ritmo psicodélico, como si fuera un microdose. Desde ahora sí vivo yo, yo misma me mimo. My hair and my nails, y me doy mi manita de gato. Sombrero, mi bota, my lipstick, mis lentes, nos vamos. My hair and my nail, y me doy mi manita de gato. Sombrero, mis botas, my lipstick, mis lentes, nos vamos. Cumbia del perreo, cumbia del perreo. Cumbia del perreo, cumbia del perreo. Uf, 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 uf. Cumbia del perreo, cumbia del perreo. Cumbia del perreo.
Christmas cards and cigarettes. I can't forget it's Christmas without you. Another night of memories. Old Saint Nick is on TV, reminding me it's Christmas without you.
Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the John and Elaine Andrist Charitable Trust. the estate of Blair Flegel, the Lorac family, First State Bank of Golva, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. I hope you're having a wonderful day today. My name is Tom Brusso, and of course, you're listening to The Great American Folk Show. Our next guest, well, what can I say? A lot like Corby Lanker, who was our first guest on the program today. She, too, stays quite busy. In fact, she's in three bands, not to mention her own solo career. Her name is Sarah Watkins. Recently, she and her bandmates, Sarah Jarosz and Aoife O'Donovan, otherwise known as I'm With Her, released their second album, Wild and Clear and Blue, and they're off doing some dates right now. Just think to myself that it must be quite a thrill to have the kind of talent that Sarah has. Well, you know a good deal of the fiddle style. Sarah plays the fiddle, both from studying it and also growing up playing alongside professional players. But in terms of where Sarah gets her fearlessness, I don't know where that comes from. I've had the pleasure of seeing her play many times, and even greater pleasure to play with her on stage. She's graciously good to everyone she meets, and in the end, what a thing to have said about you, that you were kind. When I sent Sarah a note the other day asking her about being on the Great American Folk Show, I asked if she'd play, well, not two of my favorite songs, because most everything that she does tend to be my favorite songs. But I asked her if she'd play this one called Tenderhearted and another one called You and Me. Such beautiful songs. Let's take a listen.
God bless the tender-hearted who love us face to face. Untempered and unguarded, they see through our mistakes. They've had loss and been broken more than we may ever know. But it's the tender-hearted who let life overflow. The lights turned off inside of me, so I built a wall around my heart. Keep it in, but keep them out. But nothing when surrounded survives but fear and doubt. Face and share the loving kindness they were given on their way. They've had loss and been broken more than we could ever know. But it's the tender-hearted who let life overflow. Yes, it's the tender-hearted who let life overflow. I remember the night, I remember the sound, I remember the light. When the moon came round, the night flowers bloomed, the air so sweet. I remember you, I remember me. Central Valley sunshine, oh burn out of town. Make your head all funny, so you stick around. Dusty roads make dirty feet. I remember you, and I remember me. I remember the night, I remember the sound. I remember the light when the moon came around. The night flowers bloomed, the air so sweet. I remember you, I remember me. Wish I knew you now like I knew you then. For hours I just sit at your feet. When I want to feel free, I remember you, I remember me. I remember the night, I remember the sound. I remember the light when the moon came around. The night flowers bloomed, the air so sweet. I remember you, I remember me. Found myself in your place when I was out walking. I could hear your piano and I swear I could hear you sing. And the joy we share as we tarry there, I remember you, I remember me. I remember the night, I remember the sound. I remember the light.
Was Sarah Watkins with two songs specially for the show, recorded by John Fathom. One called Tenderhearted and the other one called You and Me. The latter song's refrain is so primary, and often I find it returning to me during my cold nights in bed. It goes, I remember the night, and I remember the sound. You know, winter is a time for contemplation, and there's nothing more lasting than recounting a memory. I want to linger on memory for a moment. One thing that's just coming to mind is one of the lines in a Christopher Nolan movie, Interstellar, maybe you've seen it, great movie. It's something about memory. It touches deep, one of these lines from this movie, about parents, memory in parents, being alive so that they can be memories for their kids.
After you kids came along, your mom, she said something to me I never quite understood. She said, now, we're just here to be memories for our kids. I think I now understand what she meant. Once you're a parent, you're the ghost of your children's future.
You said ghosts didn't exist.
One of John Prine's final songs is about being thankful for life's precious experiences and the paintings they have become in his mind. The grass, the trees, songs he played on the guitar. And on the other hand, John Prine's song that I'm talking about, the message could be perceived that this is what to do when you feel life slipping you by. Just as the title suggests, you got to remember everything.
I've been down this road before. I remember every tree, every single blade of grass holds a special place for me. And I remember every town and every hotel room, every song I ever sang on a guitar out of tin. I remember everything, things I can't forget.
One of the most perfect songs ever written, bar none, is about a man who is losing his memory. It's called Where or When. It was written by Lorenz Hart and Richard Rodgers, and maybe the point is, so long as you've got love, what does it matter?
The clothes you're wearing are the clothes you wore. The smile you are smiling, you were smiling then. But I can't remember where or when. Some things that happen for the first time seem to be happening again.
Watkins, Nolan, John Prine, and Harry Connick Jr. playing that last one, each with his or her own take on the power and the purpose of memory. But memories, not so easy to define. Earlier I referred to them as paintings, and they're located on the walls of the mind's most accommodating museum. And just like paintings, memories constantly change every time you look at them. So it's no wonder why we like to replay the good ones so often. We get to see the scene from a different angle on that winding staircase of life. And yet, there comes a day when that museum of memory won't be so easily accessed, won't be so accommodating. Imagine life then. Richard Lofgren is a singer-songwriter from rural North Dakota, and he's going to join us right now with an original tune. With all of this in mind, that song is called Christmas Eve at Memory Care.
Merry Christmas from North Dakota. I'd like to dedicate this song to my family and friends and anybody else out there that has a family member with dementia. Christmas Eve at Memory Care. Drops a decorated tree. wonderful life is on TV. Baby dolls wrapped in blankets and brown teddy bears. It's Christmas Eve. Music is playing, the old man sings along. Away in a manger is his favorite song. Somewhere tonight, with his own cross to bear, it's Christmas Eve.
I love going out to eat with my wife, Lizzie. She's in every kind of food, and she usually knows exactly where to go. And I love being the tag-along, though we don't get a chance really to go out much these days because we've got a lot going on at home. When we do get out, it's fun to share a plate, an entree, a salad, a glass of wine, although sometimes we have two of those. Recently, I read an old English text called Treatise of Love, and it details all the ways one should act and behave if one has found true love. And it reminded me of my wife, Elizabeth. I mean, everything that she does is perfect. She's elegant, patient. She's a great listener. These three qualities are always present, even when she eats. And so you can imagine me sitting across from her at the table at dinner. It's one of my favorite things to do to spend time with her. Lizzie is like a goddess. Not far from where I live is a neighborhood joint called Ellie's Ivy in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And I'm going to take you there right now in Dakota Diners. And incidentally, it was the last place that I went out to eat with my wife, Elizabeth. It's my sister's birthday party that night, Carrie Sapa. And apps were ordered to the table, and I usually don't really care for apps, but they were ordered. I sat down and I decided to have one, and then I had two, and then I had three. They were so good. It's their signature award-winning salt and vinegar chicken wings, and damn, they were so good. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Each bite was an explosion, an extension of that rotisserie chicken melt, and I think you know what I'm talking about, the kind that you get from the grocery store that just like, bang, makes you so hungry. You have one bite, and you want to have another bite. But these chicken wings had that puff of subtle tang, that vinegar and salt, and my God, what good stuff. They weren't your average everyday game wings, I can tell you that, but they should be at game day. And with the wings that night at Ellie's Ivy, I had a nice cold glass of Bohemian-style beer, and I'm just thinking to myself right now, you should try this. Let's go to Ellie's Ivy. We visiting with Scott Franz. He's the owner of Ellie's Ivy, downtown Grand Forks, North Dakota, a staple restaurant here, not just in Grand Forks, but in North Dakota and also Minnesota. We're so close to the Minnesota border. Scott, how did you get into being a chef, being an entrepreneur, and taking over this restaurant here downtown?
I used to play in a band. We did some touring around when I was like 16 to probably 20, something like that. And when I was 17 years old, I realized that no matter where I ended up, if I learned how to like flip burgers or get in the industry a little bit, that I could get a job somewhere. You know what I mean? And it might not be the most grand things in the world, but at least I'd have some like experience. So, you know, even when I moved to Colorado for a couple of years, you know, I was cooking and ended up cooking more than playing music, and actually moved back into town. And I was going to move to Minneapolis to go play with some guys up there, but I was trying to get back on my feet and get some more money in, and ended up working at the Grand Forks Country Club. And the Grand Forks Country Club has this great chef, Andrea Baumgarten, and, you know, owned Burr Bombs and stuff in Fargo, just an amazing chef. And apparently she was hired as a consultant, so they needed to find a head chef, and I had enough experience at the time, so I ended up taking over that kitchen. And then we opened up Three Frogs after that, and then, long story short, I kind of like fell into doing the restaurant thing more than music, and life happened. You know, my wife now of 13 years, and we dated before that, but she's been in the industry since she was like 14 or 15 years old, you know, working 70, 80 hours a week for somebody else wasn't really happening when we were growing, you know, having kids and this and that. So we decided if we're going to work that hard, we're going to do our own thing. So this came on the market, and we took over the old Sanders building, and it's been good 8 years now so far. So we've got through COVID and just kind of went through it, I guess. You know, it's a journey, and it's something that you never know what tomorrow brings, you know, or what the future does. But right now it's going pretty well.
What's like a popular staple entree here at Ellie's Ivy?
You know, it sounds cliched, but like, I think our farm burger is great. People love it. It's probably the most local full entree that we have. I mean, we source the beef from Thief River. I got Tim Schimansi is our rancher that supplies us with all our ground beef. The bun we make in-house, and we're using, you know, Dakota flour and sugar and local eggs, even down to like American cheese. I think it's the best cheese that you can put on a burger, but my thing is I have a problem just buying American cheese because it's kind of funky. I did research and found out that the original Kraft, Mr. Kraft, I forget his name or whatever, was, you know, in 1913, was trying to figure out how to maximize his profits, and that's when he created American cheese by, you know, taking trimmings and stuff like that and basically ultra-pasteurizing them with a very high emulsifier, sodium citrate, which you can make with baking soda and lemon juice, but we can just buy it, and water, and you basically, I get this cheese from Wisconsin, a local person actually drives out there with a truck and supplies some of these other places, so I get a $600 block of cheese that's this 15-year-old cheddar that we're making American cheese for this burger. And it's so stupid, but it's like, it makes me so happy that we're like creating something that's like, it's a better product than American cheese, but it's still American cheese. In the summer, we got cucumbers where we make our own pickles for that, you know, local onions and lettuce that we get year-round. That burger in itself is like, it doesn't travel far, which is great. I mean, Wisconsin's as far as, you know, we get ingredients for it and probably the citrate. But other than that, everything else is like super local within, you know, 100 miles or so.
Is it difficult to stay local with ingredients? And what are some of the challenges there?
You know, we couldn't really open a farm-to-table restaurant like at the beginning of it because it takes a long time to develop relationships with different producers and ranchers. So it's taken us a few years to ramp that up, and then it always changes because companies go out of business or like they don't have things available or things, people just stop doing it sometimes too. So it's a lot of just finding people, sourcing it, plotting out in the future what can they supply us, what can we get. It's a lot of work, but it's fun, and I'd rather do that because I think we do it better than a lot of restaurants in the region. And when you spend money in a restaurant, it stays in the community because we're buying so much local, and it really directly affects people than buying from like Sysco and stuff like that. Of course, there's always that, you know what I mean? I can't get local fryer oil in those kind of staple products like that, but it makes it interesting, and I don't think there's anything as a 100% farm-to-table restaurant, and I think the percentages, depending on what we have in our menu, changes, and seasonally it changes. So we were talking about ground beef. Szymanski, he does all his stuff grass-fed, and he only uses a seventh of his land at a time. So he lets it grow back in the prairie and lets it graze, and it never hits any kind of grain. And with that, it becomes a seasonal product because he can't slaughter in the wintertime because they lose all their fat. So you can slaughter in the late spring and up until winter starts, but other than that, he's got to feed them so much more just to maintain. You know, it's a lot different than just, I need 20 pounds of this and this and that, and, you know, hanging up the phone or putting it in on it. You know, everything's online now, but it's different.
We're visiting with Scott Franz at his wonderful restaurant downtown Grand Forks, North Dakota, called Ellie's Ivy. Scott, you mentioned Andrea Baumgartner, one of your, I suppose, contemporaries, maybe an idol in terms of chef and of food and of knowledge in that area. Who are some of your other idols that you looked up to?
You know, I actually got my start at the River Bend in East Grand Forks a long time ago, Bruno, the chef there, has kind of took me under his wing and showed me a lot of things. I learned a lot of things of what to do in a kitchen, what not to do in a kitchen. But it was pretty amazing. You know, when I moved out to Colorado, I worked at the Tarbigan Country Club, and Mick Vanziski was the chef out there, and he really taught me a lot of different things. And, you know, Kim Holmes is somebody I really look up to, and never worked with him, but have always been in the community with him. And you know, talk to him, especially when he opened this place. It was, you know, I talked to him weekly, ask him for advice on, like, what do I do about this or what do I do about that? And he was always openly willing to help me out or give me any kind of ear. And it was great. So he kind of mentored me in an ownership way, I would say, more than, like, in a chef way. But, yeah, I mean, those are probably the big ones.
You mentioned Kim Holmes, who passed away, a few years back now, who had this place before you did. Sanders was the name of it. Scott, let's turn to some seasonal things that you might offer on the menu. Do you have one of those seasonal things that you can tell our listeners about?
Well, I mean, right now we're doing a lot more like comfort food items and stuff like that. Because beef prices have gone up so much, we've decided to like bring in some like wild boar. There's a company I work out of South Dakota that they can bring in a lot of stuff for me. And they're a small company, which, you know, if I'm gonna either bring stuff that's not in the region, I like to deal with smaller companies like that because it keeps them alive and it impacts their economy and not just putting money into like big people. But we're doing this shepherd's pie, which is great. We got some elk short ribs that we're doing. I mean, just really kind of home, you know, seasonal things there. We're starting to get into the time where I can start getting whitefish and lake trout from Bayfield, Wisconsin. It's another place that I try to draw from in the winter months. They do a burbot too. I don't know if you've ever had that, but it's an interesting fish. And one of my cooks is just in love with. It's an eel pout. So it's an interesting, it was kind of like poor man's lobster. It's great stuff. So we're going to try to bring in some of that. And that they only start fishing in January. And hopefully they get some of that. But it's interesting. You're trying to bring in, you know, quote unquote seafood, but lake fish, and trying to focus on that a lot more than bringing in stuff from, you know, the oceans, just because we are in the Midwest and it might not be in our backyard, but it's still, there's small companies, you know, trying to support.
Scott, who are the people who come into Ellie's Ivy?
I think it's a mix. You know what I mean? Like we get our regulars, but it's a really, there's not one demographic. We get some younger, you know, professionals. We get people that are a little older during lunchtime, and I don't know. It's kind of everybody, and we try to be a part of the community as much as possible. And it's a beautiful place, but we kind of try to be that neighborhood joint where we keep our prices as low as we can, even though we're buying local stuff. But we want that repeat business of people that can come in and not break the bank, you know. And sometimes it ends up being special events as well, too, which is great. But, you know, we're just going to want to be a neighborhood restaurant.
What's the name all about, Scott?
So we originally purchase this building. We ended up selling it after a couple of years, but long story short is my wife and I actually got engaged in that booth right over there. And we were thinking about what we liked about this joint. And you know, just brainstorming kind of names. And, you know, one of the things that we really liked was the ivy on the outside of the building. You know, it's always like, oh, it's such a beautiful building. And the other thing was the elephants in the bar. So there's these brass elephants that hold up the bar rail. And it's like, what about elephants and ivy? And Rachel's like, I don't know, how about Ellie's ivy? And they're like, okay, fine, that works, you know. So there's really not like a huge story other than that, you know. It's kind of silly, but a lot of things spur from that. And then it's also kind of like, if you're local, then you know what's Ellie's. If you're from somewhere else, it could be Eli's or Ely or whatever. But it's kind of fun.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the Great American Folk Show. As we've been talking here, this place has just been filling up. I think the party's just getting started here. But I want to thank you again for being on the Great American Folk Show, Scott.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Been listening to the Great American Folk Show, and I sure hope that you've been enjoying the program today. My name is Tom Brusso, and I always get sad when we have to wrap up this program, but we do so we can put the next one together and come back next weekend. One more tune for you, a classic holiday tune adapted for the six string by guitarist and luthier Robert Randall, whose style is lead and chord all at the same time. It's as though two people are playing at once. So simple, so remarkable, and so perfect to end our show. We'd like to thank you for listening. We'd like to thank our guests, Corby Lanker, Sophia Tolvik, The Mexican Standoff, Sarah Watkins was on the program, Richard Lofgren, Ellie's Ivy, special thanks to Scott Franz for that warm conversation, and Randall Roberts. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California, and theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Elizabeth Brusso helps out with the digital realm. Eric Dethridge is the producer and the editor. And my name is Tom Brusso. May you always find that lucky old sun until we meet again.